So therefore, the first step is acceptance. Acceptance is so important because I can't have a relationship with you unless I accept you as you are. Mm. And you accept me as I am. That's the honeymoon period of a romantic relationship. We're accepting each other unconditionally.
Yeah.
That's why it's so wonderful. You know, where we're beholding each other in that wonderful sanctuary of unconditional love.
Mm.
So seeing the best in one another.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fundamental, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the wheels start falling off because we don't know how to be the effective parent of our own mind.
Yeah.
Because as we're developing our relationship, our unconscious attachments and expectations start to project themselves onto the other person, and
yeah, projections, and
yeah, and then all the yeah. control games, and it all starts to fall apart. And so the second step has to be total personal responsibility. As an adult, my mind belongs to me. We need to have like a ceremony, and many cultures have in many ways of coming of age ceremony, but that coming of age really needs to understand that, okay, young man or young woman, you are now an adult.
Mm.
You know, and some sort of symbolic presentation is given that this is your mind, this is now your responsibility. You are now a parent of your own mind.
Mm.
All that we have done for you up to now is now finished. Whether that was good or bad or whatever,
mm-hmm.
this project, which is your life, you know, which is your mind, is now belongs to you.
Mm.
So whatever's in your conditioning, whatever you've experienced up to now, you have to take that on total responsibility in how to look after that, manage that, work with that, heal that. That is totally up to you now.
I think a lot of people in our society would believe in the personal responsibility aspect, especially those like, you know, heading for big corporate jobs, for example. But I feel like a lot of people don't see the usefulness of acceptance a lot of the time.
Yeah, but even, yeah, the total personal responsibility really isn't understood because we, you know, we don't believe that totalness is real. You know, we're happy to justify and compromise and you know, make excuses.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, being in the corporate world, we justify exploiting others.
Mm, yeah.
That's not personal responsibility.
Yeah, because you're not being responsible for your actions. You're
no.
not living by a value system or moral code. You're just
That's right.
allowing yourself to, yeah.
You know, and so two foundational principles. They are the foundational principles in Buddhism. The first two steps of the Eightfold Path. Right view, right intent. When you understand it, and recognize that the purpose of those two steps, right view is unconditional love, total self-acceptance. That's the most powerful way to view anything. That's the most clarity way to view something.
Mm.
When you view something from that perspective, you reveal everything that's creating suffering.
Mm. Yes, I agree with that, yeah.
And so, and the next step is right intent, the right way you act.
Mm. How does one know the right way? Is it just intuitive?
Well, it comes back down to personal responsibility and total self-acceptance. How I act towards myself informs me how to act to another. And Christ said this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Mm.
So if you're having them do unto you, then you would want to be, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yeah. Well, hang on, how do I want you to treat me?
Mm.
So yeah. I've got to know how I want to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, so clearly I'll be treating myself that way, you know what I mean?
But
so
you wouldn't know if you're not conscious to it.
Yeah. No.
Mm.
Yeah, so if I'm beating myself up, then I'm going to leave myself exposed to allowing other people to beat me up or being overly defensive or
yeah.
whatever. So my relationship with myself teaches me how to have a relationship with another.
Mm. And it's only until you experience maybe some conflict or backlash where you can reflect on maybe I'm actually not treating myself well enough, and this is the reason other people aren't treating me well as well.
Well, indeed, everything's a mirror.
Mm.
Everything is a mirror. So it's coming to the fundamental understanding that every vulnerability that I have, every painful emotion that I have is self-inflicted. And that takes time to really grasp. If somebody is abusing me, for instance, and I'm upset about that, I'm only upset about that because that person is exposing doubts I have about myself.
Mm.
So they're really putting a mirror up to my own relationship with myself.
Yeah.
So my total acceptance of myself now helps me to understand that that person who is abusing me is confused. Their abuse has nothing to do with me. I may have made a mistake and inconvenienced that person.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with the abuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now if I'm in a good headspace and I can, you know, be present in that moment, I can just let all that abuse go straight past, focus on what the actual message is and say, ah, so you're letting me know that I made this and that mistake. I'm really sorry about that. Sorry for the inconvenience. And I instantly disarm the whole thing. Because they're only abusing me because they're afraid I'm not going to hear them.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the only way I can know that and read that is because I've taken full responsibility for the way my mind used to do those things as well.
Mm, yeah. That way, yeah. And I think that's a good way to manage yourself as well, is seeing the reflection of other people, how they treat you.
Yeah.
That could be a good metric, maybe. Yeah.
That's right.
Even in office relationships, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You can always just, you know, reflect
everything
on that. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
So, and there's no failure here. Like, I'm human. I still get it wrong. I still get caught. You know, I still react. Okay, but that's not a failure. That's an experience.
Mm.
So there's no standard where we just remove all the standards. It's simply the experience of now.
Yeah.
And so if I react, if I get frightened, if I get angry, it's an opportunity to realize that, sit down with myself, look into myself and get to know what I was afraid of, what the vulnerabilities are.
Yeah.
And so it's an opportunity to parent myself, not to judge myself, not to pointless judging the other person.
Yeah.
I can set boundaries if that person is not very, you know, constructive in the way they have a relationship. I can set boundaries and say, I only let you in this far. Not because I'm judging you, because I understand that you're too confused to have a constructive relationship. You know, but that is discernment. That comes from my own constructive relationship with myself.
I just feel like it's just a hard concept to understand for people.
Yeah, it's defragging your whole mind, you know, defragging the hard drive of your mind. And so
these
two steps completely dismantle your ego.
I feel like, yeah, some people will need someone externally to help them with it because it's too painful to do it yourself.
Well, that's why we come back to acceptance. See, the self-acceptance makes it manageable, makes it doable, because it helps, enables you to look at yourself in a comfortable, manageable way. Because the more I practice self-acceptance, the more I can look at the issues in my mind without being beat up by my own self-condemnation.
Yeah.
The pain, the only reason we feel pain is because on some level we don't think we're worthy. Even when if I think someone else thinks I'm unworthy, I'm thinking I'm unworthy.
Yeah, yeah. Because it sparked that sensitivity in you, yeah.
Yeah.
And you said growing up you were a bit sensitive as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the whole process and the 12-step and everything helped you kind of rekindle that sense of worthiness, and then you could just wipe off all of the criticisms about you, I suppose.
Well, over time, yeah. Over time. Because the self-acceptance is the doorway to opening your heart.
Yeah.
Opening your heart to yourself means that you can, I'm now looking at my mind from the perspective of the only truth is self-acceptance. So that enables me to do that more comfortably. So, you know, I was corralled in by self-condemnation, self-hate.
Yeah.
You know, to the point of suicide. Because, you know, we're not feeling suicidal because we're so trapped by our own mind. We can't see a way out.
Yeah.
You know, and but I could start to find a way in because I had the light of self-acceptance, which was no longer identifying with, siding with all that self-condemnation.
Yeah.
I was no longer believing it.
Yeah.
So much, you know, that creates openings where I could start to look at it rather than be it.
Do you think time is also a pressure in that? Because, like, going back to, you know, your adolescence and feeling like you need to be something, and was there, like, a fear around time is running out for me?
Oh, of course. Like I said, I thought my bus had already left. You know, I was 18.
Yeah, you're 18, yeah.
I mean, that's egocentric, but, you know, but that's what we do. But once I, you know, really learned that deep fundamental acceptance, it doesn't matter. You know, today is my starting point. That's perfect. Today is my opportunity. That's perfect. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday, other than the fact that what happened yesterday is something useful for me to learn from. It doesn't matter how pear-shaped it went.
Yeah.
That becomes useful. And so these two fundamental principles literally break you out of the matrix, break you out of the melodrama, the samsara that they call in the East.
Yeah.
It enables you to take full command of your mind. There's no perfection in it. There's not about, oh, I haven't got it right yet. There's no such thing. It's about, I have a go every day.
Yeah.
And then I accept that experience and I learn from that experience, which gives me some more awareness and insight, which I take in into the next moment. And then I have another experience and I learn from that. And therefore everything in life is now my teacher. Doesn't matter what shit life throws at you, let's say, that's now fertilizer for my awareness because I embrace it with these two steps and learn from it. I continually evolve. I can't now. I can't be defeated now. I can't stop evolving.
Yeah.
So that's the first two steps. They're the fundamental, foundational steps of any wisdom path.
Yeah.
Okay. That's universal, because this is my mind. It's not anybody else's mind.
Mm-hmm.
No one can get in here ultimately but me.
Yeah.
Okay. And so. But the only way to heal a mind is with love. So steps one and two, total self-acceptance or acceptance. Of course, acceptance also is teaching me how to have a relationship with life around me.
Okay.
Okay. So, but we won't go there yet because that's
a bit broader,
yeah. But so the third step is putting steps one and two into action in my relationship with myself. So the third step is let go and tune in. What am I letting go of? Judgment. Judgment of myself, judgment of others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting go of being the victim. Because while I'm doing that, I'm disempowering myself and being occupied with controlling things I have no control over.
Yeah.
Got to let that go in order to, again, open my heart. I've got to accept, open my awareness, and then I can tune in.
What was an example of something you were holding on to in your past?
Resentments. You know, my brother bullied me a lot. I got bullied quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I would react a lot because of my insecurities. I would have to defend myself, you know.
Right, and that's where the two fundamental steps will help you with that, you know, the further step of letting go. Because you've already established that, you know, you're worthy. Now you have the opportunity to let go of those resentments.
Yeah. So let go of that futile arguing with life. Let go of fighting with things I have no control over. You've got to let all that go in order to look at yourself.
Yeah.
So tune in, because ultimately 100, and this is a big statement, but 100% of my suffering is caused by me, my own mind. Like if you mug me in the, you know, in Central Park in the city, and you know, and permanently disable me, and you know, yeah, my body is damaged, but again, it's up to me what I do with that. You know, if I'm forever feeling victimized and oppressed and frightened, well, you're gone. You're not causing that now.
That is such a deep level of consciousness to be able to let go of something that big. But it's possible.
But those who get it live.
Yeah.
They can't be stopped. They're resilience. This is the basis of resilience.
So
the moment you stop beating me up and bugger off is the moment I've got to take over. Yeah, I get taken, you know, to the hospital, they do their best to fix my body, you know, but in terms of my mind, that's 100% within my power. You don't own my mind. You didn't mug me and run off with my mind.
True. So any level of victimization isn't really that valid. You can get through it. You can get past it.
There is nothing you can't heal. I specialize in trauma and anxiety, depression, but trauma, you know. And there's, and I've come to, you know, I've worked with people with the deepest levels of trauma, worse than what you would see on a battlefield.
Wow.
And there's nothing you can't heal if you know what you're doing. Okay, so let go, tune in, is your relationship with yourself. So you're getting into your own mind. You're paying attention to what you're feeling here.
Yep.
So as soon as you feel vulnerable, frightened, scared, hurt, that's your humanness going, help me, and you're the guy to do the help.
Yep.
Okay, and so it's learning to feel, and that self-acceptance enables us to be able to sit with those scary emotions. Without getting re-traumatized by them.
Yeah.
Okay, so let go, tune in is when we are the being the parent to our own self.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our healing process, putting steps one and two into practice in our relationship with ourself.
Mm-hmm.
So step four is live in the now. That is talking about creating, conscious creating. It's the conscious creating step. When can you act?
What do you mean?
When can you act?
Anytime you choose to.
No.
When can you act?
When can you act? Actually act.
When you... sorry, I don't know what you're trying to ask.
Well, when can you talk to me?
When I feel like talking to you.
No.
What do you mean?
That's a tricky question.
Yeah.
The answer is now.
Now, okay.
You can't talk to me yesterday or tomorrow. You can't talk to me 1 second ago or 1 second ahead.
Right. Everything's now. Grounded right now.
The only action can be taken now. The mind doesn't get that. The mind tries to act on the future, which is worry and anxiety.
Yes.
Or tries to act on the past, which is regret and resentment.
To try and make meaning of things.
Yeah, and so in the mind, there's no real time space. There's all our memories, and you look into the mind, you're looking into the past. The mind's all over the place. It's trying to control stuff on a mental level.
Yeah.
Trying to control things it has no control over.
Yeah, a lot of the anxiety is just worrying about fabricated situations that haven't even happened yet.
Just trying to control the future, and a future that your own mind is creating yourself.
Yeah, and you're feeling that in the present. You're feeling depressed or anxious. Yeah.
So you're figuring all of this stuff out in your step three work. Because you're turning around and looking at your mind, being the parent of your own mind. The loving, compassionate parent. The parent that is representing total self-acceptance, total personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Representing the ultimate powerful principles that defrag the mind. that bring the mind into its real potential.
Yeah.
Okay, so step four is then putting that clarity into action in how to create your life. So I can make all the plans in the world, but I can't control the outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I do my best to research and be as informed as possible, which is how I can take responsibility for that factor, but I still can't plan every thing that's going to happen on the way to achieving that goal.
Yeah, you can't control that. Yeah.
No. And so I've got to work with what is in front of me now.
Mm.
So I might be halfway to the goal and realize by working with and accepting what is in the moment, and I'll get to this point and I realize, hang on, I need to shift the goal over there.
That's right. When you're future thinking, you don't account for things that could change your pathway.
You can't possibly know all the factors.
Yeah.
And so back to those earlier principles, they're telling me that like total personal responsibility, total self-acceptance is in every moment.
Mm.
And so if I'm fixated on a particular goal and it has to work out that way, I'm fixated on that because my self-worth and self-image, my ego, is dependent on that to prop all of that up.
Mm.
You know, it's like I'm worthy when I achieve that goal.
Yes, this is a common one. Yeah,
that's attachment.
It's attachment to an outcome you have no control over.
Yeah, and it's just going to be a recipe for suffering.
Right.
But the two principles, steps one and two, total acceptance, total personal responsibility, means I am already worthy. I've already arrived. You know, I'm achieving this goal simply as an expression of my own potential.
Mm.
Which I don't even fully know yet, so I'm exploring my own potential as I'm aiming for that goal. So I'm evolving through the process of aiming for that goal.
Okay. So, yeah, you're taking small iterative steps, and then by that you're exploring more about yourself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're opening up yourself to new possibilities.
Everything we do is going to be evolving. I'm going to be growing through that experience.
And that's kind of the excitement that you get as well. The richness of life comes from that. Yeah.
Never gets boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Never gets to be Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as long as my mind keeps working, I'm going to keep evolving.
Yeah.
And life is going to be an exciting new experience every day in some way.
Okay. So the main, if you'd like to expand on that ego attachment to a goal, what is the messaging on that specifically?
You're using that goal to prop up your self-worth, and what you're doing is you're putting your self-worth into something external,
like
the carrot on the end of the stick, but you never reach the carrot.
That's right.
And even if you reach the goal, there's something new your mind is going to attach itself to prop up your worth. It never ends.
Yeah, the ego isn't satisfied. It's never satisfied.
Mm, that's right, because it's like, where we're continually filling up something that keeps emptying itself out.
Mm. Yeah.
But once you learn to accept yourself, totally, you're already full.
Yeah.
That whole dynamic is already solved. I don't have to do anything to be worthy. I exist. The fact that I landed on this planet means I've already got my ticket, I've already arrived, I'm already meant to be here.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what experiences I encounter, doesn't matter what my conditioning, doesn't matter what my circumstances. That's every moment is my starting point. That's what I accept. That's what I work with.
Mm.
And when I approach it in that way, I can start to work it out. I can start to evolve and make the most of any situation I'm in.
That's good. One question I had, a bit away from, it's kind of related as well, but it's just I think that, you were saying about your background that you spent a lot of time in isolation, and maybe Your parents cared about what you did and what you became.
They did.
But it wasn't such a tight grip either, right?
No, they were good, supportive parents.
Yeah.
There was other deeper stuff going on for me, which we won't talk about in this episode because it's a whole thing in itself. But
yeah.
The causes of my depression wasn't just my family of origin. That wasn't enough to explain it. There was stuff going on there. My mum and dad, you know, weren't that great with feelings. I was, quite a feeling thinker type. Yeah. And there wasn't that much of a match in character, plus with my older brother and sister. But the brother that was closest to me that I had those challenges with, we could connect more as well. If he was still alive, he'd be on the spiritual awareness path. Now as well, he was waking into that before he died. He was killed in a motorbike accident.
Right.
But there was much deeper unconscious stuff going on there.
Yeah, and I'd say the acceptance and self-responsibility, total responsibility, is hard for someone who is so entangled in cultural and societal expectations.
Yeah.
They grow up expecting that their parents are expecting them to be a certain profession.
Yeah.
Or so their identity is conditioned from a childhood.
And you got to inevitably, if you want to be truly free, you got to break out of all of that. Not to judge it, not to blame anybody, because we're all doing the best we can. It's ultimately nobody's fault, but everyone's responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm in this world, in this body, driving this thing around. This is mine. Like I'm out on the road driving my car, I'm responsible for how I drive the car. No good blaming the guy next to me, even if he's a crappy driver.
Yeah.
And getting into my lane, it's up to me to get out of that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And get around him. You know, if I just sideswipe him and try to run him off the road, then, you know, that's just me being violent.
That's a tactic some people use as well.
You know, and so this is my vehicle throughout this life. I've got to take total ownership of it. I've got to wake up to the fact that I'm awareness. As awareness, my body and mind live within me as awareness. Okay, and so this is what these principles wake up, is they initiate me as awareness. That's where I shift my identity to and become the parent to my humanness.
Yeah.
Okay, so we start to talk about different dimensions of ourself here.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's awareness is the dynamic dimension that is able to then transcend the mind and then start to engage the mind from a higher set of principles, a higher perspective, which is able to then lift the mind out of its confusion into that perspective.
What are the dimensions of the mind?
Well, we probably won't go there this time.
Let's not go there this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a whole podcast in itself. But let's go to step five. And step five simply says, live the process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another hard one for the ego to grasp, because the ego wants to fix the mind. You know, if we've got something like depression, I want it fixed. I want to get rid of it. I want it out of our way. But the more empowering approach is to see the depression as a path of transformation. It's a teacher. Getting into my depression with self-acceptance but total personal responsibility, it is teaching me about the mind. It's teaching me how my mind causes itself suffering. It's a path of wisdom. So I open my heart to that experience and I bring it into myself, not to suffer in it, but to get my mind up like a child and sit it with me and get to know why that child is suffering.
Yeah.
Why that child is confused. But I can only do that if I'm centering myself in a process that can solve that, in a process that enables me to see from a higher perspective.
Yeah.
And so the total personal responsibility and total self-acceptance, and acceptance step one, responsibility step two, is the position of ultimate personal empowerment.
Mm.
You know, acceptance comes from unconditional love. Unconditional love brings everything back together. It is the healing force.
Mm.
And the more what I'm doing when I'm giving myself that, I mean, where am I getting that from? When we truly loving ourselves in a responsible way, I'm not talking about self-indulgence, to do this, I don't have to take anything from anybody. Where am I getting this love from? You know, when we're in a romantic relationship, it's, oh, finally I've met Jane and she's got all the love that I'm going to ever want. And Jane's looking at me and saying, oh, Philip, he's got all the love that I ever want. And hell, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, love is normally seen external.
Because it's like, if I haven't got it until Jane comes along, what am I going to give Jane?
Yeah.
What's Jane going to give me? You know, it's just cancelling each other out. That doesn't make any sense.
That's the problem, yeah. But you want to receive so badly that you don't even think about it.
Well, we have the illusion of thinking that love comes from outside us.
Mm.
It doesn't. So this is this is what taking total personal responsibility, love yourself unconditionally, starts waking you up to the fact that you're already plugged into this stuff. Love is life. It's a life force. It's universal consciousness. It's oneness. It's the quantum field of universal consciousness.
Mm. So it's realizing your unconditional love, not having to earn it or work for it. You just have to realize it.
You already are that.
Yeah.
Look at the Bible. It says that God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. That's a statement of wonders if I've ever heard it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. I mean, the only two places from your story I could see was in the church, talks about unconditional love.
Mm.
And then when you were in the 12th step as well, they kind of taught you more about unconditional love. But other than that, you don't really hear about this concept in general society.
Well, you do in all wisdom paths, because that's the power. That's the power of healing. That's the power to bring everything together. What causes suffering? The disconnection from that.
Mm.
Mm. Of not feeling worthy. Worthy of what? Unconditional love. Or worthy of being a part of life, which is the same thing. Life is a oneness.
Yeah.
I when we fail, we don't believe we're worthy of, you know, we're casting ourselves out. Or when something calls you a failure, then they're casting you out. They're rejecting you.
Yeah.
You're getting disconnected.
Mm.
My constant judgment of myself, which was mostly in my unconscious, and even I was doing it to myself, but that was constantly disconnecting me.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, when I was, halfway through my last year in high school, I felt like the world was in a bubble. I was on the outside because I was constantly disconnecting myself.
Mm. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, and with the distractions that we have as well externally.
Constantly it's telling us to disconnect ourselves and when we're disconnected, then we try to fill it up with materialism.
That's right.
You know, and with other people, places and things and identity and it's just candy.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually rots our teeth, rots our brain, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, we can get away with it all our life. We can stay distracted and...
Well, that's what I'm thinking is, like, it's a cycle that happens a long period of time for some people.
Yeah.
I think people can live a certain way and externally it can seem like they're pretty happy people. But it's like with every story as well. It's just like, oh, this person, you know, decided to end their life, but they seem so happy at the time. It's just like that underlying sense of worthiness that they didn't ever explore in their life. And I guess that is the importance of your process, is that it's really digging to the foundations of who we are. And it'll take maybe an event or a catastrophe to sometimes... maybe get you to that place.
Yeah, ego tends to have to, hit a wall where it, faces something that it just can't control, it can't get out of, and so it's got to let go, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, the letting go is when we, you know, can move into acceptance, then we're letting go to a higher part of our consciousness that can then work with it in a different way.
Yeah.
And so, but step five, talking about live the process, we're putting it at the center of our life. We're not using it to fix something, because that's, again, this trying to get away from it. That's a fear-based approach. We're using it to embrace ourself ongoing, and therefore embrace life ongoing, because embracing myself is teaching me how to also embrace life.
Yeah.
You know, acceptance is also accepting life as it is and working with it. Okay?
Rather than
being a victim and being in conflict.
Yeah.
So when we put it at the center, then it's going to be healing and transforming and helping every aspect of my life. But that is difficult, because it's important to really understand that the conflict between your conditioned mind and your self as awareness. Awareness is operating from short-term memory as the dynamic now self that's adaptable and can learn new things. When you go to school, they're teaching you as awareness, not your mind. It's your job as awareness then to teach that to your mind. That's called study.
Wow, yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that makes sense.
This is the same thing. Learning how to master our mind is like beginning a new craft or learning a language or a new sport. It requires that level of dedication and conscious awareness. So you learn it first with your awareness, because it's adaptable. Awareness isn't constricted by conditioning.
No.
And once you wake it up with total acceptance and personal responsibility. When you go to school, when you go to college voluntarily, you're taking responsibility for your education. You're being responsible for educating your own mind.
You're learning how you learn.
Yeah, and so we're in the university of life here.
Yeah.
We've got to take responsibility for letting life be our teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in order to learn the game. Life's trying to teach us all the time, believe me.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to learn from it, because we keep arguing with the teacher.
That's true, yeah.
You know, so acceptance, you know, takes you to deeper and deeper levels of actually how to connect to that flow, that evolutionary flow of life. So that's again another topic. But so the mind is not going to be invested in putting this at the center of your life. It's going to be invested in its old programmings of, you know, grasping at the material world for all the answers.
Yeah.
And so it's what takes discipline. We've got to build that center and, you know,
take the responsibility.
It's the basis of religion, you know. It's of all that we devote ourselves to it. So we've got to devote ourselves to our process of self-evolution, healing, awakening in the same way. You put it at the center of your life, everything then benefits.
Yeah.
But your old mind is very deep, very powerful, and it will keep trying to reassert itself, because that's how it's designed. It keeps trying to save you because it only knows its conditioning. And so you've got to, you know, train that old dog into new tricks that match your potential.
That's it. Yeah.
And again, steps one and two, total acceptance, total personal responsibility, is the key into your potential.
Yep, that's beautiful.
Okay, so that's how it works in simple terms.
Yeah.
But as you can see, there's endless depth.
Oh, yeah.
Because those two principles, those two steps are fundamental.
Yeah.
You just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper with them.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, we could talk about that for a long time.
Yeah.
And going into depth. And I'm looking forward to going into depth with you more about it in the future. Mm-hmm. But would you like to just talk about your book for a minute?
So this is the book here, my 5 Steps to Freedom, Path to Inner Harmony and Personal Growth. It's the second edition. There's about 20 odd years of development in this,
yep,
through my own path and then, you know, working with others for all that time.
Yeah.
And so,
all the wisdom you were talking about.
Help you heal and grow. And so it really introduces you to the 5-step process and how to put it into practice in your life.
Beautiful.
And then there's also my podcasts. I've got 3 podcasts, you know, series at the moment, a fourth coming very shortly.
And on top of that, you've got a healing meditation center that you run as well?
I run the meditation mindfulness groups,
cool,
self-awareness groups.
You can just probably find it on the website, on your website.
Yep. Yep. It's all on my website, innerharmony.com.au.
Brilliant. Awesome. Well, thank you for all your knowledge, Phil. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you, James.
All right.
Look forward to it as well.